This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora, assalamu alaikum and hello friends. Welcome to Global Kids with Khalid on ORFM Youth Zone, where we explore the world together through stories, adventures and smiles. Some people come to university to study, graduate, then leave. Today's guest came to the University of Otago as a young student. He became a student leader, traveled and worked in different parts of the world, served New Zealand in many important roles, and then returned to lead the same university where his journey began. It feels like returning to the first chapter of a book, but reading it again with completely different eyes. Today, I'm very excited to welcome the Vice Chancellor of the University of Otago, Grant Robertson. Kia ora, Grant, thank you so much for joining me. I want to begin with something I've been wondering. When you walk around the university now, do you ever suddenly feel like the young student you used to be?
Well, kia ora, thank you for having me on the show. Actually, I do, and it's a funny reason why. Sometimes I see one of the students and I think, oh, that's one of my old friends from when I was at university. And then I stop and go, well, it can't be, because that was 30 years ago. And it's just because it's somebody who reminds me of one of my friends when I used to be a student. So I do. Yeah, I do think that some days. It's quite different now, the university, from when I was a student. So we had about 12,000 students when I was there, and there's over 20,000 now, so it's much bigger. There are different subjects being taught, and there's some new buildings that weren't there when I was a student. So some ways it's unfamiliar, but yeah, I sometimes see those young people and I think, oh, I think I know who you are. They're probably the son or the daughter of one of my friends, actually. But yeah, so some days I do feel like that.
That's a really big change, 12,000 to 20,000, that's really big.
Well, it's really, in terms of people on the campus this year, it's almost double. So it's nearly 24,000 actual people. So yeah, it feels very busy when the students are here. It's, you know, sometimes you have to wait for a long time to buy a coffee or something like that. And then when the students aren't there, so when they're off on their break, it's so quiet. There's just nobody around and it feels really strange. And then they come back and it's like, oh, okay, this is how it's meant to be.
That's so lovely. And I didn't know it can almost become double. Okay, people usually meet you through your important jobs, but who's Grant when nobody needs you to lead anything?
He's quite lazy, I think. this is a very busy job, being the Vice Chancellor, and then the jobs that I had before this when I was the Deputy Prime Minister and the Minister of Finance were really busy. So I like to spend time with my family when I'm not working. I really like watching sport. I used to play quite a lot of sport, but I'm a bit too old now. I like watching sport and I like reading books. My mother still lives in Dunedin, and one of the things that's been really exciting about coming back to live in Dunedin is to spend time with her. So I like going and visiting with her. And last weekend, we went to the art gallery and we walked around, and it was so nice. And that's quite different from my old job. I was living in Wellington. I was really busy. I worked on the weekends a lot. And so, yeah, that's really nice being able to. You should always spend time with your mum, eh? But it was really nice getting to do that. So, yeah, I live a reasonably quiet life outside of the job, because I'm pretty tired when I get home at night. I'm usually quite tired. I should probably do more exercise in there somewhere, so maybe that's something for me to work on.
Oh, but that's really lovely that you like spending time with family.
Yeah.
Do you get asked questions, like, a lot?
Yeah, all the time. It's nice. Like, usually it's people who want to come up and maybe talk to me about something I did when I was deputy prime minister or finance minister or someone from the university. Sometimes the people who come up to talk to me aren't so nice. Like they're coming to say things about what they think about what I did back when I was a minister. So that can be a little bit hard, especially if I am, say, with my family, because it's nothing to do with them. it's me. And so, yes, that's, it doesn't happen all the time, but it does happen every now and then. Yeah.
Yeah, it gets hard sometimes being a vice chancellor.
Yeah. Well, it gets hard just whenever people know who you are. It's quite funny too because people don't know they're doing this. But when they see someone that they recognise from TV, they'll stare at them and they don't even know that they're doing it because, you know, they're thinking, I know that person. Who's that person? And they just keep looking at you.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I say, hello, and they go, oh, you know, because I don't even really realize that they're looking at me. So, yeah, sometimes it's okay. I'm really used to it now. Like it doesn't worry me, but it's funny when sometimes people are with me who aren't used to it and they'll say to me, why is everyone staring? And I go, well, that's because they know me and they think they know me.
Oh, it gets really hard,
yeah.
You know, I haven't even felt how it's being like, you know, a vice chancellor and getting asked so many questions.
Yeah, well, with your podcast, you know, you might be quite famous too one day too, and people will be asking you.
Yeah, hopefully. What were you like when you were 10 years old? Were you someone who followed the rules, questioned your house rules, or tried to improve them?
That's such a good question. 10 years old. Let me think. Where was I when I was 10 years old? So I was at school at St. Clair School in South Dunedin. I think I was probably somebody who mainly followed the rules. Yeah. It was a little bit later when I started to follow the rules a little bit less, especially when I got to university. But, I was probably more a rule follower. I didn't like getting in trouble, you know, like I felt bad. And back then when you got in trouble, it was, you know, the punishments were quite strong and stuff, so it wasn't so good. So, yeah, I was mainly when I was there. It was probably when I got to high school and I was sort of getting more kind of my own opinions about the world.
Yeah.
And I was more likely then to start challenging people. And I think if you talk to my teachers and that from when I was at high school, they would say, oh, yeah, he was not such a rule follower then. I wrote a book last year and I had to think about those times. And I found a school report that I got when I was 11, turning 12. And the person in the report said, Grant needs to speak up more often. And I think nowadays that teacher might regret having said that to me, because I really took them seriously and did that. What about you? Are you a rule follower or a rule breaker?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Because I don't know. Because now the generation is a bit, you know, not really a rule follower, but I still follow the rules.
That's good.
I don't get in trouble.
That's right, which is good.
When you were my age, like 10, what did you think grown-ups understood about life that you now realize they were probably still figuring it out?
Yeah. Like, I think inside your question is the thing, that when you are 10, you think that adults have got everything figured out. You know, that they know exactly what they're doing, and they're kind of amazing adults when you're 10, I reckon, because they seem to be able to do all these things, you know, drive and make your dinner and, you know, like all these things. What I've worked out as I've got older is that everybody is
working.
Still learning and still working. And sometimes adults make things up when they don't know the answer. And when you're a kid, you think, oh, that must be true. But actually they kind of don't know. So they're just doing their best to answer. And that was one of the things I really feel about my parents, is that you know, like my parents, when I was your age, their marriage, their relationship wasn't too good. You know, they were arguing a lot and stuff. And I found that quite upsetting, obviously, as you would. And it's only later that I think, yeah, that they were just going through some things, just normal life things that happen to people. So I think sometimes we think when we're kids, we think our parents are almost like superheroes, you know, like sort of Superman and Superwoman. Yeah. And actually they're just normal people trying to do their best to help us grow up. So that's probably something I've realized. Yeah.
I just realized from like you said, you know, because not everyone knows everything and they're still learning, they have more to go.
Yeah, totally. And I think it's really cool that parents realize that too, that you don't have to be perfect.
Yeah.
You know, you always, that real pressure, especially like, and when I see kind of young parents now and with, you know, the young, really with babies and that, and it's like, how do I do this? And it's like, yeah, everybody's been through that. Like everybody's had that moment of going, I don't really know what to do here. And usually you ring your mum you know, and they'll come up with something. So yeah, it is. It's so important to keep learning. That's one of the most important things I've learned in my life, is that there's always something new to learn and to understand.
Yeah.
And wouldn't it be boring if we'd worked everything out, what would we do then?
Yeah, and just, you know, keep going. Mm. Don't give up.
Yeah, that's so right.
Yeah, you have so much to learn. Was there someone who believed in you before you fully believed in yourself?
Absolutely. So I had a school teacher. So I went to, after I finished at St. Clair Primary School, I went to a school that was called McAndrew Intermediate. It's not called that anymore. It's called Bathgate Park School now. But it used to be called McAndrew Intermediate. And I went there, and I was still quite shy then and just kind of not sure exactly what I was passionate about or interested in. And I had a school teacher, and his name was Harry Kerr. And Mr. Kerr is still alive, because I had an email exchange with him recently. So he's quite old now. If he's listening, Harry, I'm not being rude, but you are. But he was amazing. He was that person. So he just saw in me some things that I definitely hadn't seen in myself. So for example, I liked writing stories, and one day all the class had to write a story, and I went home that night and the phone rang at about 7:30 at night, and it was Mr. Kerr ringing me to tell me how good he thought my story was. And I thought that was amazing, that a teacher at 7:30 at night, I don't know how he had my phone number, I haven't thought about that, but he rang home and he just said, this story is so good, and he made me enter it into a competition, a nationwide competition, and I actually won the competition for the story. And I would never have done that on my own. You know, I would never have been confident enough to say, yeah, this is good. And the second thing he did, which is quite different, and this is maybe he's to blame for the rule-breaking bit that happened later on, but he was quite good at saying to me, well, you just do the thing you're interested in. So sometimes if I said to him, oh, I'd like to do this project, which was different from what the rest of the class was doing, he would say, yeah, that's fine. You go and do that project. Because I think he knew I would take it seriously. Yeah, you know, that I wouldn't slack off or anything like that.
Yeah, you'd be really good.
Yeah, well, I don't know about good, but at least he thought I'd try. And so, yeah, so he was, Mr. Kerr was amazing like that for me. And I think he was really good at knowing. I'm sure he was like this for other children too, not just me. But he was really good at knowing what I was interested in and encouraging me in that way. And he definitely, and he was just very supportive. So yeah, he was definitely a person who saw heaps in me before I did.
Mm. Oh, yeah, a good teacher makes, a good teacher just for one day makes a really good day.
It does, eh? It makes such a big difference. And actually, we even know some people at the university do research on how people learn. And one of the things that research shows is that a good teacher is one of the main things, the main reasons why people succeed.
And main reasons how people get more confident.
Exactly. Yeah. So true.
Yeah, right now you're a vice chancellor. That's probably because of your confidence.
Partly, yeah, it is. I think I've always had to keep kind of reminding myself at different times in my life to be confident. Sometimes I was a little bit like this, where I thought if I couldn't be perfect at something, then maybe I shouldn't do it.
And
it was a really weird thing for me to stop, to sort of realize that you can start, like we were saying before, you can start something and just keep trying and keep learning.
Yeah.
And I was a little bit funny, maybe sort of around that age and a little bit later, I was, I might make a mistake and then maybe that means I shouldn't do it. I shouldn't have started, but actually that's completely wrong.
Yeah.
You know, even if you make a mistake, you're still learning and you're still finding a new way of doing things. So, yeah, I was, yeah, being vice chancellor, being a cabinet minister, all those things, you do have to be confident to do them. I agree with you. But you kind of have to – I'm a person who has to keep rebuilding that confidence all the time. So each time I do something new, I'm like, okay, it's okay. I'm not going to know exactly how to do this. But, you know, it's like, I know, like learning to swim or something like that. You know, like the first time you get in the pool, some people just get in the pool and they're amazing. But some, you know, you just got to learn to do it and you just got to keep learning.
Yeah, I think that's really normal.
Yeah.
That, you know, not – you know, trying and not knowing, like you said before, if you go to the swimming pool, some people are really amazing. But it's okay if you don't know because it's literally your first try.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing I always think about too is there's always some things that people are really good at and then other things they're not so good at. and you know, you'll be the person who's good at, you know, playing chess and another person will be good at swimming and that's just how it is. The perfect person doesn't exist.
Yeah. There's no perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. Now let's play a quick game called One Word, One Memory.
Okay.
So I will say a word and you tell me the first memory or feeling that comes to your mind.
Wow. Okay.
Ready?
Yep.
Dunedin.
Family.
School.
Work.
Rugby.
Injury.
Oh, yeah. Music.
Life.
Life? You like music?
I love music.
Same with me. Family.
Love.
Courage.
Mum.
Home.
Dunedin.
Yeah, Dunedin. I was thinking the same thing. Okay. You have worked in many different places and roles throughout your life. What have all those experiences taught you about people?
My goodness. All of them did, actually, because all the jobs I've had have kind of been about people.
Yeah.
So I think probably the ones that come to mind first is a job I had where I was working in Samoa in the Pacific Islands, and my job was working for the New Zealand Ministry of Foreign Affairs, overseeing a whole lot of projects that New Zealand did. So we were supporting the hospital and supporting schools and just trying to help the Samoan country grow. And I learned that some of the ways we did things weren't the way that they were done in Samoa. So I kind of came over and said, oh, well, if we just do it this way, and people just kind of looked at me and said, that's not how it works here. So kind of understanding that cultures are different.
Yeah,
you know,
and difficult.
Yeah, yeah. And it's you've got to – but you should never assume the way that you do it is the way that it has to be done. You know, you might be able to provide a really good idea or a really good piece of advice, but
– Yeah, actually, but you just can't change it.
Yeah, that's how they do it. And so I learned that in that job. And then the next job I had after that, I went to New York in America, and I worked at the United Nations. I don't know if you know what the United Nations is. No, so it's an organization where people from all the countries in the world come together to try to work out how to do things together. So, and it's got different offices, but one of its offices is in New York, and I was there representing New Zealand along with other people. And that taught me that if you want to get agreement among people, you really do have to learn how to compromise, how to, you know, like you might not be able to get everything you want, but how can you get some of what you want by by helping the other people. So it's called compromising, you know, just trying to find a middle ground.
Yeah.
And it really taught me. So if I put those two jobs together, I kind of learned about other cultures and other ways of doing things, and then had a job where I really, if I was going to succeed, I had to really put myself in someone else's shoes. So I just learned so that they were amazing jobs to do, like then living in really interesting places. But yeah, they taught me a lot about people. And I just think every person, I reckon, in the world has dreams, has things that they'd like to do, things that
they'd like to be.
Like to be, that's right. And it doesn't matter if you're like the President of the United States, or you're cleaning an office in Dunedin, or you're wherever, everybody's got dreams.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I've learned, is that if we focused maybe a little bit more on helping people achieve their dreams, we'd be better. So I really did learn that. Like in lots of my jobs, I've seen people who, you know, and so yeah, I'm the vice chancellor, yay, you know, but actually my hopes and dreams are no different than a 10-year-old's hopes and dreams or whatever, you know, like they're all important. They're all valid.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not that important to, you know, share your dreams. It's okay if you keep it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we should each help each other to get there. Yeah.
To achieve their dreams.
Yeah.
I totally agree. You have returned to Dunedin after spending many years away. What has surprised you most about coming home?
Oh, that's another good question. I mean, one thing that, which is not what you asked, but one thing that hasn't surprised me is that, like, it's so familiar. You know, like, see that, oh, you the people on the listening to us can't, but the building that's right behind you, my father used to work in that building. And I've actually been out that window there and out on where that ledge is, which is such a strange thing. So there's so much of the city that's very familiar to me, you know, like I remember it from when I was a kid and when I lived here. What surprised me? The quality of food in Dunedin is much better than it was. There's so much more variety. So there's all different types of restaurants and cafes. And when I was living here nearly 30 years ago, it wasn't so much. There wasn't much variety, which is great that now there's just whatever you can think of. You're thinking, what do I feel like eating?
Yeah,
there's somewhere you can go and get it, which is so cool. So that's kind of surprised me that there's. The other thing is going to sound like it's more of a feeling, but it's how beautiful Dunedin is.
Yeah.
Like when we moved back here 2 years ago, we moved over to St. Leonard's on the harbour.
Yeah.
And I used to go for a walk almost every day along the harbour, and I know it was there when I was younger, but I don't think I realised just how beautiful Dunedin is. And you go on the peninsula and you go for drives, and then you just drive 20 minutes, you're at Long Beach or Puraka Nui, and they're just such beautiful places. And I think when I was a bit younger, I took all that for granted. I just didn't think about it. And so now I'm back here, yeah, I just really think it's such a beautiful city.
I totally agree. When I first came here, I was 6. So when I saw the greenery and the beautiful flowers and the nature, I was like, no, I don't want this. I want the city.
I want my city.
Yeah. And then when I grew up right now, I feel like nature is all we need. It's so beautiful. And it matters more than, you know, being inside, and it's just so beautiful. I just realized.
Yeah, that's cool that you realize that, because I think Dunedin's such a good place to see that. And the other really good thing is that Dunedin has also got the city as well, so you can almost have the best of both.
Yeah, it's really good if there's things that are both. Okay, now we're going to be playing a game called Sport, Music, Family, and the person behind the work.
Okay.
Sport, music, art, and books are all important to you. Which one helps you feel most like yourself when life becomes busy?
Music.
Yeah.
I just like listening to music.
Okay. What is something you hope you never you never become too grown up to enjoy?
Running into the sea, into the water.
Oh. Yeah, because grown-up people can also do that.
Anyone can.
Yeah, anyone can. But sometimes adults feel like, oh, that's
for kids
stuff.
To do.
Yeah, but it's not.
No.
Grant, imagine that a child is listening who feels worried because they do not know what they're good at, what's their dreams, where they belong, or what they want to become. What would you say directly to that child if they're listening right now?
I would say everything's going to be all right as long as you stay true to who you are. And you follow your heart, things will work out for you.
Oh, that's so lovely. Until next time, keep asking questions. And keep discovering who you are. And remember that you do not need to know your whole future before taking your next step. It was so lovely to have you, Grant. And I hope we have another one.
Thank you very much. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, me too. Kia ora and a office. Thank you for exploring the world with me on Global Kids with Skidit on ORFM Youth Zone. Join me for more adventures next time. You can find our podcasts on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and on oar.org.nz. This is Skidit signing off. Kia ora, ala hafiz, and goodbye.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.